Did you know they had a musical?
Yeah.
A Matilda musical?
You know how I feel about musicals.
Yeah. Why?
I ain't that gay.
I'm musicals
pretty damn
are awesome.
Gay.
I absolutely love them. Musicals.
The whole time I'm just sitting there, spit it out. Like, just
have you seen it? I found
Matilda?
It on yeah, the yeah. The musical. There's a musical. Is it Netflix?
I'm not sure. I've seen commercials for it, and I'm like, no.
No, I've not seen it.
I
would definitely watch it.
That OG
it is
Matilda.
Very cute. I'll admit, I fell asleep in the middle of it, but it was awesome.
It was great, everybody.
No,
it was great.
It was really late when I started watching it. I cannot catch a break. You know what happened last night?
It's hard telling.
The TV in my bedroom went out.
Kim is on the struggle bus.
I cannot.
She's a permanent passenger on the struggle bus.
I cannot catch a break.
Oh my God.
Bless her.
You always just randomly, you'll have like, I'm not even going to say anything because I'll jinx you. Like, I thought about
it. My washer's going out, which since Emily's moving in, it is.
Oh, it's going to go out quick then.
Oh, no, because we're going to get rid of it and bring Emily's in. And we're going to use Emily's. And then once they move out, then I'll get one.
Broke.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Especially this week. This pay period has been horrible.
Hi, I'm Sarah McLachlan. And every day, Kim goes without or something blows up. You'd
it's
like to
ridiculous.
Donate to help save a Kim.
Yeah, I need to start a GoFundMe page for my crap that's broken.
Depends, aren't you?
No, they're not.
We need more Patreons. Let's go.
Yeah, we have five so far, right?
Kim's pimping herself out.
No, we have six.
Six, yeah. So Kim has
six
a 15,
new ones,
15.
Not no. all together.
Well, we have five new ones and then one upgraded. So she
right.
counts as
yeah.
their sixth
yeah,
one. So
yeah,
we have
yeah.
six.
So we had a couple annual people now.
Yeah.
Thank mm-hmm. you guys.
Yeah, we're on a challenge to get 15 new people. So we're at six so far. And once we hit the 15 threshold, we're going to do our next live event where mm-hmm. we're going to play a game together. And it's going to be streamed so you all can join us. Mm-hmm. And we're going to give away some prizes, including
yes.
a blanket that Kim has been crocheting on our mm-hmm. trips.
I still have got to do the flowers for it.
Yeah.
I haven't had time. This yeah. was kind of a different week because we usually record on Thursdays. And today, this week, we're doing it on Wednesdays. So it kind of threw my schedule off. So I was in a rush to get my mystery done, and
she's got to get her nails done tomorrow,
right.
so we couldn't afford.
No, she, I did.
I
canceled
you're
it.
Your day oh.
I had to cancel.
She is
it.
On the struggle bus.
Yeah,
she is.
It's because two reasons. Number one, I thought I paid my electric bill last month, and when I went to go pay it this month, I'm like, I thought I paid that last month.
See, she
and
does,
I did
she
not.
Does it to herself.
So
she's driving
have,
the
so
struggle
she didn't
bus.
Have her nail money.
So I still would have had my nail money, but when I left here last week, I looked down at my speedometer and I'm like,
I ain't got
oh,
no
look,
gas.
I'm over 100 miles on my oil change. I got to get my oil change.
Well, then she texted me yesterday. She goes, oh my God, I almost forgot about my oil change appointment.
This is who's running the ship, everybody.
This is who we're trusting to make sure this gets out on time, guys.
I'm getting older by the day.
Oh, and it looks,
what is the current retirement? 68?
I don't know.
Mid-60s.
I don't know what it is. It's not that I'll ever
still
be able
have
to retire
decade.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I won't be able to ever retire anyway.
She'll be at the Wawa greeting people at the door. Welcome to Walmart.
I have exactly 20 grand in my retirement fund and...
Hey,
because
hey.
I never had one when I was married. Gary had one.
That'll pay right. for a good funeral. Get it through a big old party for us.
I do have life insurance.
Oh, good.
Yeah. That's good.
We did that Gerber Life Grow Up Plan. Remember
you
those
still
commercials?
Have that? I cashed mine in a long time ago.
Oh, I did too.
No, ours was through State Farm.
It originally started as the Gerber one,
oh,
and then
okay.
she transferred it to
our
like State Farm.
Yeah.
She loved her State Farm agent.
She did. She knew the State Farm agent by first name, and like she'd always go in there and like talk to them. And then banks, like our grandma
yes.
didn't have a lot of money, but like any,
well,
like,
used
you would
to,
think that she was a millionaire by how many times she would go to the bank and just go in there
tellers.
And talk to them.
Back then, every small town in America had its own bank. We had our own bank.
Yeah.
And I can remember going in and knowing the tellers all by name, and they knew who you were.
Well, my grandma would always sit down.
That's not the case anymore.
My grandma would always sit down with the branch manager. Mm-hmm. Like, you would always think, like, growing up, I always thought my grandma had a lot of money. Like, she was a millionaire or something, mm-hmm. because Rich. How many times she would be in that office at the mm-hmm. bank talking to them
She's
about
got
something.
Estates to settle. Yeah.
And really, it was probably that she was missing $20 between her ledger and their ledger. She and she's like, where's my money? I'm missing 20 cents, and I want to know exactly where it's at.
My mom still keeps a ledger like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Our grandma would always do her checkbook.
Yeah. You know? I'd look online, see what's went through and what's not. You're, and I don't
use the app. No. Oh, good.
Yeah, I use my app all the time.
More than I thought.
My mom, she still will sit down when she balance gets her bank stick. Yep.
I remember our grandma always balancing her checkbook.
She spent something.
I wonder and how many people actually still do that.
And then when her statement would come through, she'd compare it to her checkbook. And then those are the times I remember her going into the bank. But at the time, being a child, I didn't realize that's exactly what she was doing. Mm-hmm. So I just always thought, oh my gosh, my grandma's got a lot of money in the bank. You know, we're high rollers.
I started out doing that after I got married, but we both had debit cards, you know, and he would take money out and not tell me. And it was just a whole shit show. Mm. So I never knew exactly what we had.
He was a lovely man.
He's a real gem.
You picked a winner, Kim.
Well, you were like, what, 17 when you, weren't you like a young lady?
When I got married or when I met
him?
When
you met him.
When I met him, I was a senior in high school. He was a junior. Yeah.
So you were stupid as hell. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Still is.
Yeah. We were actually engaged before I ever graduated high school.
Oh.
And we waited a year.
Kim don't wait around.
No.
You want her promised land, you got to pay the toll.
Right. My favorite thing, though, is that Kim lives in a very tiny, like, micro town. And her ex-husband lives right around the corner.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right around the corner.
I didn't know that until we drove by the other day, and you're like, that's where
still,
is.
Yeah. Still pisses
Sometimes
me
when Kim drives by, if she's driving off.
Reach over and honk the horn as I'm driving by. I'm like, God.
And you can always tell which house is his if you drive through the town because it looks like a junkyard. Hey. There's like 50 million vehicles
house,
in the front yard.
Your car now is a lot better than any of the 10 he had. So I honk too.
My favorite story, though, is I was at Kim's house one day and it was getting kind of late.
It was dark.
It was dark, yeah. And Kim goes outside to walk her little dog. And, you know, like, you just want to be a good person in a small town. Well, car goes by. Just like, no, I don't leave. I don't like to be.
Burn it to the ground.
Well, a car goes by, and Kim just waves.
It's just an automatic wave.
The nice wave. And there goes her ex-husband.
And then I look up, and I'm like, oh, shit. That was my ex-husband.
He requested her on Facebook later that
night. Hey, I remember as a kid, we waved at everybody. It didn't. I mean, most of the people we
Our
knew
dad would
anyway.
Talk to them.
Well, I live out in the country, so like anytime I drive by someone, I always get the wave, and I wave right back because you know you don't want to offend anyone.
Oh yeah, and, I do when I'm hiking, well, especially if it's a woman. I give her the wave.
When you drive a mystery machine Tesla, people will remember you.
Oh yeah,
I don't want anyone to be like, "Oh, that mystery machine Tesla didn't wave back."
He's an ass.
Right? Exactly. So yeah. I always do the wave back.
We always waved even. We would around our town and then the neighboring town, Parker and Farmland, we would always wave no matter if you knew who they were or not that was passing, you know, you always waved.
I give a nod.
But once we got into the bigger cities, we didn't do that. And I remember doing that clear until 15, 20 years ago.
Well, for $12 on an ice cream cone, Kim would do much more.
Oh, please. That's not me. That's somebody you know, not me.
No, I am right here, guys.
All right. Why don't we talk about our trip that we just took to the National Museum of the United States Air Force. Now, both of you guys have been there before. It was my first time being there.
He lost his virginity.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it was a big place to
virginity. I forgot
it's
how
grown.
Big it was.
Yeah, it's grown since
And let me
I've
just tell
there.
You, like, when you go to find parking, and by the time you walk into the place, I'm already worn out.
Mm-hmm.
It is a walk just to get into the building. What was really nice, I thought, is that you don't have to pay to get in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our taxpayer dollars made that part. So right. That's
we
a nice
paid plenty.
Yeah. So that was nice. And you don't have to pay to park, which is also nice. Mm-hmm. When you go up, when you drive up to it, you can definitely tell that, these are like hangars.
Huge
hangars. And I also saw that this last year was their 100th year anniversary. Yes.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't notice that.
Yeah. So they opened in 1923, and today they are the world's largest military aviation museum. They have more than 350 aerospace vehicles and missiles, and they also have thousands of artifacts, and it spans over 20 indoor acres. And we could definitely tell.
Yeah.
In fact,
we were wore out.
Yeah. In fact, Kim was so worn out after the first hangar we walked around. She went and got her a little scooter. Mm-hmm. Now,
I almost joined you.
No, wouldn't it have been fun if we all three have scooters?
We should have. That would have been so much fun.
It was really nice, too, that the scooters were free.
Yeah.
Like, they were really nice scooters.
They were very nice.
It was one of the nicest scooters I've ever seen.
I always feel bad about doing things like that because there's people that's a lot worse off than I am. And my knee was really bothering me that day. It had been raining, so all the arthritis in my knee was driving me crazy. My back started hurting after the first one, and I'm like, I'm not going to make it through this if I don't. So I'm like, I walked out, and I didn't realize. I seen the one row when we walked in, and then when we walked out, I seen that there was another row of them, and I'm like, oh, they have plenty.
Oh, yeah.
They have plenty.
Mama,
they
have
lots. Yeah, Mama going to go get her little scooter, and she did.
Well, what's also really like good to know if you plan on going there, especially with anyone older who may have problems, is that because you're walking around hangars, these hangars are like, you know, cement floors.
Yeah, it's
so
rough.
So you're walking around these hangars and it's a lot of walking.
If I hadn't have done that, I would have made it through probably two and I would have had to stop and just sit.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like I have insoles in my feet or in my shoes, and it was absolutely miserable after the first hangar.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely don't blame you. I would have done it, but again, there's a stigma over big people getting on scooters.
Well,
if you guys would have, I would have too. Y'all just confused. <ain't you? laughs>
That's another reason that I really kind of hesitated because, you know, people are like, oh, that fat lady, she just can't walk around.
Who gives a
damn?
Yeah, you just have a little jolly old time. But I will say, Kim, I wanted to just pop you upside the head because I swear to Jesus, you drove that stinking scooter slower than you walked.
No, that was not me.
Slow as hell.
That was not me.
You were driving it.
Well, see, I had it full blast.
Someone else.
Was that my fault?
No. Listen.
Remote control.
Listen. When I went to do it, they tell you, you know, this is how you go. This is how you know, if you're going to stop, just let go of it. And they tell you all of these rules that you have to follow. And one of them is going slow. So she set it on a certain speed, and I was trying not to mess with it.
Can you?
As soon as I pulled away from there, click.
Yeah, I did. Well, I didn't. At first, it didn't seem too bad. But then when we started up down that one long hallway, I was practically crawling.
Some old man in a with a cane caught up to her.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on.
Well, so I did turn it up a little bit.
We were walking from one section through, I think we walked through two hangars, and I turn around and I see you really far off in the distance. And I thought, boy, if I had a scooter, they'd be waiting for me.
They warn you if they consider you speeding, they'll take you off of it. You won't be able to use it.
Oh, I'd like to see him take me off of it.
It was.
I'd hold my arms up.
I had like, a blast it was on like that darn thing.
It was like at a snail's pace.
It was really slow.
A 100-year-old man with a walk or a cane was just like funny. He came up and asked you about the headlight on it. Do you take that outside?
He did. I think he was the one that passed me on the incline up the long hallway.
Come on.
It was kind of ridiculous.
Female drivers.
But it was fun.
So because you both have gone there before, what did you guys think of it now? Josh, I'll let you answer first.
Oh, I just didn't remember it being that big. The last time I went, I was in my mid-20s and I pushed an old man in a wheelchair all day. And I was more tired after. And now I was almost in my mid-30s. It was
They didn't have, when I was there the last time, they didn't have the presidential planes in the hangars. Mm. You had to ride a bus to go out to see them, and you had to pay extra for that. I'm assuming it was to help with the gas.
We walked through JFK's presidential plane. Oh, boy. That was really cool.
And I'm telling you.
Had a musty smell, though.
Yeah, it did have a musty smell. I'm telling you, they have a plexiglass box that you have to walk through before you can go up the stairs.
Because,
you had to think real thin when you go through there.
My shoulders were thicker than it was.
I got up those steps, and I turned to start going in there, and I'm like, oh, shoot, this might have been a really bad idea because I got claustrophobic real quick.
I did too.
I was trying to take pictures and walk through as quickly as I could to get back out of it so I could breathe. And it just, I didn't go into another presidential one after that.
It looked really nice.
It was very cool.
Like, you could tell it was top of the line when it came out. Oh, but yeah, walking through it, I'm like, oh, this looks like them old campers with like the fake wood kitchens and stuff.
It just aged.
The thing that it really impressed me the most on JFK's is they had at the end of it, when you're getting ready to walk out the door, they had a plaque on the because it's all plexiglass off. Yeah. You can't sit down or do anything like that in it. And on the plexiglass, they had a plate that said that they had removed this portion of seating for his casket when he passed away to transport it. So I thought that was really cool. A good piece of information.
Fun fact.
I was ahead of you guys, so I had approached that plane beforehand, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to go on that, because of course I know exactly what all happened on that plane. Mm-hmm. That's the presidential plane that JFK had taken to Texas when he was shot and killed, and that's the plane that they had flown his body back on, and that the vice president was sworn in on. So I thought, oh my gosh, I definitely want to go on that. I know all the history about it. And I saw that little thing that you have to walk through, and it's like, these tight spaces on here are going to get this small. And I thought, I am taller than this.
There was a couple places that I had that my arms was like this, and I had to go through sideways.
Me too.
Yeah. And I thought, I am also wider than this. And I thought, two out of two, I better not. what if I get stuck on this plane?
I come off the plane and I looked at Shane and I said, you made a very wise decision, sir, by not going.
Well, they were like, well, just come on. You'll be able to squeeze through the place. And I was like, I doubt it. I mean, I had a feeling that they were going to be because I've been on old things like that before.
Yeah.
And they have like plexiglass up there. Yeah, they can preserve those things. So I had a feeling that the hallways were going to be tiny. And I just thought, I don't want to like actually physically get stuck.
Yeah.
Because I know what's going to happen. They'll have to go up there and start unscrewing stuff. And it's going to be this huge hassle.
Mm-hmm. Nobody wants
like, embarrassing.
Like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
How was it height wise for you, Josh? I'm short, so I don't
crouch a little bit.
Did you? Okay.
My claustrophobia, though, did trigger a little bit. I got stuck behind two people that kept just stopping. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we got to go. Like, this air is getting real heavy in here.
Yeah. It was something. It was very cool to see, really cool to see, but it was very claustrophobic.
The only thing I didn't really care for was the pen. There was this giant white in the space area.
Oh, in the space area.
It looked like a Star Trek star, like their logo, just this cool looking around all the rockets. And, you know, it's cool enough to where it draws everybody over. Like, what's in here? You get up to it. It's a pen.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw the outside of it, and I thought, oh my gosh, like right next to like a space shuttle and all these really cool things. And my first thought was,
it's a space
something off of the moon.
Or the ISS.
Yeah, and it's the only new thing in the entire area. And I believe in the entire hangar, it looked like.
You walk up to, and this is the pen Trump used to sign in Space Force. I thought that was a joke.
I thought, how much was used to build this little contraption? And like inside the little spear, the little contraption was just a little pin. Yeah. And I just thought, that was unnecessary.
It made me mad because I'm like, I fell for it. His little ego. He's like, we need something that's, because no one's going to come. Oh, look, a pin that orange Cheeto used.
It was just so funny to see.
I thought the whole Space Force thing was a joke to begin with.
I did too.
Talking about it, and they're like, no, really, that's going to be another armed force. And I'm like,
that's the name?
Let's spend more money out there that we don't need to? I don't know.
Well, the name's all that gets me. The Space Force thing.
No, I understand it. I understand that it's important to have not necessarily people in space, but I'm talking about like satellites in space and when other nations are putting weapons in space. I think that is the side of the branch that military campaign is going for. Like if other nations and our nation is going to be focused on space weapons or space exploration, that is the branch that they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, you know, let's put more people on the moon or let's do that. So I understand those concepts. I will agree that, you know, Space Force seems like a child's name. You know, it seems like something
sounds like
Star
a show.
Wars. Yeah. So yeah, no, I guess
when
that.
I think of it, because when you think of most military things, you think of them
big, strong
men. Yeah, big, strong men. They're defending their country.
And
you
women.
Know,
women
and,
now.
And then when I think of Space Force, I think of men on the moon fighting for our country. And I'm like, it's just weird. It's just weird to me. It's probably just generational. Bored. I'm sure it's generational.
Yeah, but I think it's just you also have to think about what tomorrow's dangers are going to look like. Mm-hmm. You know, I think more and more weapons are coming from space. For example, the Russia threat that came recently was threats of Russia saying that they were going to take down cell towers and the ability for America to use devices here in the U.S. So again, that would be something that's in space. They're not going to be using towers down here. Okay, so
I guess
so it's outside of your normal realm, and it's outside of, you know, I guess the technical Air Force.
I guess,
you
know. I just never, because of the name, I never cared to know
funny.
Anything right. about it.
Yeah, it sounds funny.
Not take it seriously.
Yeah, no, I get it. One thing that I thought was really interesting, being my first time there.
Why do I keep hearing a door?
My ass is clapping.
I don't hear
I could have sworn I heard somebody close a door.
So anyway, one of the things I first noticed, like when I was walking around, was kind of like how it seemed like all of the exhibits have been there for a really long time. So when you guys were there the first time years ago, did you guys see the same exhibits?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of newer things there too, but I never dreamed. Okay, so after you lose a child, you don't know when you're going to have that wave of grief and what's going to trigger that wave of grief. I went into a museum not ever thinking that anything that I'm going to see in there is going to trigger that wave. We came in that very first hangar, we came around the corner, and I seen this plane engine in a plexiglass thing, and I seen Amber standing there. Because last time we were there, she was standing there asking her dad questions about it.
Go ahead.
She's trying to be emotional, Shane.
Yeah, and here you are like, screwing around over there. But when I turned the corner, I seen her standing there. And it was because the last time we were there, she was standing there asking her dad questions about it on how it worked and stuff. And it just caught me raw. And I lost it. And here you two are walking around like, this woman ain't crying. I don't know what's wrong with this woman.
Who the hell Who is this lady? She?
And the other person that was with us is looking at me like, what's going on? And I told them, and they're like, yeah. I just wasn't expecting that.
Papa flew a plane like that. Oh, I miss him. I was just like crying at an Air Force museum. I'm just going
to
walk
I was trying so hard to get a grip, and I just couldn't. I kept just standing, looking at a wall, just
kept batting
my eyes a whole bunch, trying to stop crying. And I was trying not to draw any attention because people are probably wondering why in the hell this woman's crying in an Air Force museum.
Was the device that you were talking about that Amber had explained to her, was it the one that you were next to?
Yes.
The round engine.
Mm-hmm. So did you read it?
No.
So I thought initially that you were like laughing at it because I had read it. Well, I started reading it, and it said that it was a part off of an old like Air Force mechanism or something. And it said that when pilots would use that, in their plane, they started to realize that one of the effects was like it would make them go to the bathroom. Like it would give them diarrhea.
Oh, the diarrhea one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I had no idea.
The diarrhea.
Because it shows pistons going up and down as it's going around and stuff. So Gary, my ex-husband, was explaining that to Amber, you know, telling her what that was doing. I don't think any of us read
the diarrhea. I remember seeing that.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Why is she crying at the diarrhea machine?
Well, and then I thought, Kim, you better not like lean up against that sucker. That thing's going to get
I was diarrhea. Leaning up against it. No, I was leaning up against the railing that was around it, just trying to keep it together. And finally, I'm like, and I fought it for a few minutes. And I'm like, I just can't fight it. I can't. And I just started bawling. Took me a few minutes to get it together.
I almost made a joke to the old man next to me, but like, she flew that in the war.
But I thought it was hilarious. That after the fact, I thought it was funny that, you know, here I am standing here crying at something, and both of you are going, oh, look at that. Look at
something,
that.
Anything else.
But no,
we just attention got to here, a woman for Christ's crying. Sakes.
Yeah.
It's not a woman, it's anybody.
I did notice that if you go there, they have a lot of things sectioned off by like what wars things happened in, like World War One or World War Two, and so on.
The Wright brothers.
Right. So, one of the things that I also noticed is that they have a lot of things that would fall into propaganda territory.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if it was exactly meant to like show the type of propaganda
that
was
shown.
Yeah, just talking about Amber Grammy.
Lord.
I love you, Kim.
No, I mean, I'm
Take
not crying. I have
it.
A little bit of a tear, but I'm not sitting here boohooing.
Menopause is real, everybody.
It's right. No shit. That is no shit. Growing older has been less mysterious ever since I started using Hormone Harmony to help with the symptoms of menopause. Between the sleepless nights, random hot flashes, mild mood swings, it was making it really difficult to focus, rest, and enjoy myself. Hormone Harmony has helped make traveling around with two young men in a mystery machine a lot more bearable. Hormone Harmony is not just for those of us suffering from menopause. Women who have symptoms of hormonal imbalances can benefit from Hormone Harmony. It has helped guide me through the mystery of menopause into a more harmonious journey through a natural process in each woman's life. The company behind Hormone Harmony, Happy Mammoth, advocates for women and helps them regain control of their hormones. With over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, more women are feeling more like themselves now more than ever. Thank you, Hormone Harmony, for unmasking the monster behind my menopause. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MYSTERY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MYSTERY for 15% off today.
Well, I couldn't tell because one thing that the whole museum kind of lacks, and I'm not sure if it's because of how big it is, that
men
they just
in
kind
uniform.
Of
exactly. I was so
we
disappointed.
Saw one. Mm.
I think because of how big the museum is, they kind of lack like specific storytelling for specific areas. Mm. So like you kind of just like walk through and you just like look at the stuff, but you don't get a really good experience of like what you're looking at
right.
in certain mm-hmm. parts. You're just like, oh, look, this big plane. That's cool.
They you need know? An audio tour.
That's what I thought.
They like, do
you need,
have
you need a good audio tour or something.
Well, you can do they do have a guided tour that you can do.
I gotcha.
And I think we might have done that when we were in elementary. Because we
that'd
went
be cool.
in elementary. We did a guided tour. And I don't know if they do an audio tour or not, but I know they do a guided
I think
tour.
That would have been a little bit better. But one of the things that I liked was the exhibit on the Holocaust before you got into the World War II section. At least that was a little bit more real and raw.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of gave you some feelings. But what I would have also liked to have seen in each of those sections would have been like something that showed like that would have told a story about like things that they learned or things that they had gotten wrong or things that they had learned from the mistakes. So, for example, in the Holocaust part, they could have also mentioned that during World War II, the U.S. had also put Japanese American into what they called incarceration camps.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you aren't familiar with this, this happened, as I mentioned, during World War II, and it would have been a really good opportunity for the museum to mention something that the U.S. had gotten wrong to make sure that we don't make that mistake again.
They built the railroads in our country, a lot of them.
Yeah. Now, for those who aren't familiar, after Pearl Harbor happened, President Roosevelt, he had issued an executive order that had put Japanese Americans on the West Coast, specifically into camps. They called them relocation centers, and it involved about 112,000 people. Now, they had been robbed of their personal property and personal liberty, and keep in mind that these were American citizens. Now, these camps, they had moved all of these people to inland, desolated areas, and they all lived in these army-style barracks,
mm-hmm.
and they only had a few collections of clothing with them. So by all means, I mean, these are camps, but they were forced to live in for years. I mean, we're talking 3 or more years, and they were forced to live there until the war ended. And they all shared common facilities. They had to share restrooms, which Josh and I would not have been okay with.
I would have been so constipated.
In 1988, Congress actually passed a law that acknowledged that what they had done was wrong, and they apologized for all the people. They had apologized for it.
With money?
Yeah, they gave everyone $20,000 who was wrongfully incarcerated.
Wow.
Now, one of the things that I thought was interesting that came out about all of this is that the U.S. had told everyone, we're going to put you in these camps for your protection. And the U.S.'s argument was, look, a lot of people in America are afraid of Japanese people, including Japanese Americans, and we're afraid that they're going to hurt you. So what we're going to do is we're going to put you in these camps. We're going to force you into these camps. So that's what their argument was. So for your protection, we're putting you here. And the Japanese Americans were like, okay, but when we were in the camps, there were guard towers. And the guard towers had their guns faced towards us, not faced outwards.
Mm-hmm. That don't seem like protection.
So who are you protecting here? So I think like things like that could have done really well in a museum like that, especially when you're putting concentration camps, when you're putting that into the museum's history. So I think something like that would have really liked to have seen.
I guess it's just me. I don't know if it's just me, but I didn't notice any of that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
You were getting the story. You were.
Well, I mean, I did see that.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the stories behind stuff. I'm there. I was there to see the airplanes and the cool airplanes and stuff, and I didn't think anything about there being a good story behind them. But this is coming from a guy that does stories history. For a living.
Him and I were both like, oh, did you see the one of the prisoners.
Oh, yes. I took a picture of that.
That accordion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did at first think it was bad taste that they had it, like the bathrooms were in the
right
exhibit.
Across it,
but
yeah.
Then I thought, that way everybody sees it.
Did you go into the bathrooms?
No, I did not.
I did.
I walked in and then I walked back out because I was like, these are really small bathrooms.
I was like,
first off, there's a line inside. And I'm like, I'm not waiting in a line. With all these men who are not washing their hands. I didn't see one man washing their hands, weren't there? Yeah, later on. I had gone to the bathroom later on.
Oh, that's right.
I went to the bathroom while I was waiting on you to catch up in your dang scooter.
Yeah.
I went to the bathroom, came out of the bathroom, and you were still catching up.
The funny part of that scooter is, as long as you sat for a second and looked, then it would go really good. But the longer you ran it full blast, the slower that it started going.
Mm. Now, did you guys see the flying saucer?
Yeah, yes. I got a picture of it.
Yeah. So did you guys read the little thing about it?
No.
I did. I think I started to read it and then noticed that you
were
way ahead of me.
The dinosaur things were right by there. I got distracted.
Yeah. I think that's what it was, too. I wanted to see the dinosaur things.
Now, for you listening, the dinosaur thing was this thing for children. And evidently for Kim and Josh.
Giant metal dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's in the middle of the aerospace
randomly
part. Yeah, and it's just a section that children can play in, and evidently Kim and Josh
it was but cute.
I did start to read it. Wasn't it from Canada or something?
I don't know. I didn't, I was like, you didn't read the flying saucer. No, I thought you were talking about the dinosaurs. No, the, I was like, no, I didn't go in there.
The flying saucer. No, didn't I read that it was from Canada?
I don't remember what country it came from. What I remember is that they started trying to develop a new type of vehicle for the Air Force. And this was like, I believe I read like from the 30s or 40s, something like that. Mm-hmm. It was a while back. And they were trying to make it so that it was a craft that could levitate off the ground. And so they were having their scientists develop it. And the only way the scientists could develop this type of craft was to make it round. And they had to make it aerodynamic in a certain way. And this was the craft that we were looking at. And we have photos that are on mm-hmm. Patreon. We'll also post the photos with this episode of this craft on Instagram so you can see it. But one of the things that the thing said was after it was, once it got through so far in development, the Air Force was like, oh my gosh, guys, this is literally what the UFOs looked like in all science fiction, like movies and novels. Like we cannot further develop this.
Right.
But the scientists were like, well, this is the only way that we can make it levitate. Like this is the only design that works.
People so will freak out.
Yeah. So it's kind of funny that like all the science fiction people and all the people who were saying that they were seeing these UFOs were in this type of UFO fashion. Because when I was far away from it, and I saw it from a distance, my first thought was, oh my God, they have a UFO.
Yeah, that was what I thought too.
You know? And so it looks like a typical UFO. So it's kind of funny that the only way they could design this specific craft to mm-hmm. levitate was in this UFO-looking craft.
Coincidence? I think not.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Did get us
Project
a new,
Blue Book, you know?
Right. I did get us a little sign for our bunker. And it was an Area 51 sign.
That was cute.
Yeah, I would have also liked to have seen, you know, take away some of the kids' stuff. But, of course, I'm an adult that doesn't have kids, so you can just take away some of the kids' stuff to make room. Yeah, you can't
take kids' stuff away. Not especially not in a museum that big. They have to have some sort of an outlet.
I would have liked to have seen some of the, like, some stuff that the Air Force has investigated on UFOs. Mm. Even if their theory is that we found nothing, I would have liked to have seen exhibits mm-hmm. on it.
That would have been cool.
I think that would draw in a big crowd, mm-hmm. even if their official story is nothing to see here, folks. Right. At least let us have the history of it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think this that would be a really cool exhibit.
Looked into.
But no, instead, they put a lot of money into a real big exhibit for a nice pin.
Right. We ain't bitter, though.
We're not bitter one bit, but that's the
newest exhibit.
In the corner. I thought that's a rock from the moon.
There's like this that's giant satellite. Yeah.
You have to walk into it.
I thought it was going to be a rock from the moon what I thought it was.
Because over by all the moon stuff.
Yeah.
It pissed me off because I'm like, this was designed because he's like, they're, you know, I hope they're someone like,
steals
we want to make it to where it's going to draw people over. Even if mm-hmm. they don't like them, they're going to come see and then
right.
find out when it's too late.
Oh, so wasted.
What I remember from the last time when we were there, they had more interactive things for kids through the exhibits.
Mm. COVID and stuff, probably. And,
yeah. That's the only thing that I can think of that took them out because some of them was really cool.
What I also would have liked is the food part.
Yeah.
A little bit more food. They have a little snack bar.
Yeah, all they had was chips and...
Well, yeah, there was one in the middle, too, where you went to the bathroom and they had like sandwiches and wraps and stuff in that one.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even see that one.
I saw the one that we had all gone to.
We went to the very back one in the space. I haven't been to that one. Now I know why. Because it doesn't have the good food. We walked up there. I was like, the hell is... Oh, a cookie. Yeah.
Mm. Gee, if you'd have told me, we would have went to the other one.
Right. Well, I didn't know if you guys were... Like, I was like, oh, they must just be thirsty and need a breather.
No,
I didn't think it was like, I needed something.
It was called a Sky Something Cafe or something. I thought, oh, this is the food part.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I didn't realize they had more than one.
In the front, in the middle, and then the back.
And they also had a section where they had, like, people... It looked like they were going to have some type of... event for military officers or dinner. Something.
That's the only place that Josh and I seen men in uniform. That,
there was
and
a retirement.
That, there place. Was, yeah, it was a retirement party, and there was one. There was one that caught my eye, and I walked over to Josh and I said, "There's our men in uniform, Josh."
Kim and I have, we can talk with our eyes, mm-hmm. and we both are like, when Kim does that face, she's like, mm-hmm. I'm like, there's a man around.
This way, this
I
way.
Slowly look around till I see him, and then we both look and like, mm-hmm.
Did you guys notice that every once in a while in that section, among all the older planes, there was like a brand new stinking drone?
I don't even remember seeing a drone.
Like a huge, like, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
like,
yes. Like
an unmanned.
The gliding type of looking.
Oh, yeah.
The unmanned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The unmanned ones. Right. Like the huge ones. Like among like all the old mm-hmm. crafts, I look up and I'm like, oh, well, that seems like out of place.
It's the only place they like, have
among,
room.
Yeah, probably. Like, among all the old things, there's just this brand new modern drone.
I think they had good intentions to put everything in the right era, but after a while, they just started running out of room.
Yeah, they're just like, we don't have room for this.
Yeah. But like I said, when I was there the last time, it was not, what was it, 5 hangars?
Yeah, it was like 7 now. Or I can't remember.
No, I think it was 5 or 6 now, and I think back then it was only like 3. It was a lot smaller.
Crazy. And we had that diner when we first pulled into it beforehand. I was like, oh, we're gonna get hate crime. It's gonna happen here. But it was really good. Clean bathrooms, clean food. That's the two things I look for in a place to eat. Are the bathrooms clean? And mm-hmm. what did the waitress's mm-hmm. hands look like? Are they clean as well? And that's the true. Silverware. I don't mind a water spot, but if there's leftover gunk on it.
There's leftover gunk. Now, Kim did enjoy a nice little pickup at the front. We had to pull the Mystery Machine Tesla up to the very front of the building.
Yeah. I told him, I said, I'm going to walk outside and take a picture of the front of the building, and I'll meet you, you know, I'll see you in a little bit. Well, I got done taking the pictures, and I went around and I sat down, and I'm like, I can't get back in this door because the entrance was a different place than the exit was. So I'm sitting there, and I'm going,
crap.
Are they ever going to come out? And I sat there. I don't remember who I texted, but I finally texted somebody and said, hey, I can't get back in that door. I'm sitting right outside of it. And I never got a reply. And I was sitting there and I looked over and here he come. And I'm like, oh, front door service. How lucky am I?
Pictures. All these people were taking pictures of Kim mm-hmm. getting in the car.
Who is that?
Mm-hmm. Kim just felt like a celebrity.
This is the original voice of Velma from the show. The original.
He's funny.
Right.
You're funny.
And the unmasked will have to remember, but we should talk about like the food places we ate at on our trip. Mm. We'll do that on the unmasked. And I noticed while we're sitting here that Josh's camera froze. Josh, look how good you look in the video.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my gosh.
I got a fresh new haircut.
You froze, but you look dang good.
Oh, thank you.
No wrinkles, no nothing. You just look like a frozen doll.
Perfect. That is the nicest thing you've ever said figure. To me. Of course, mine would freeze. Got my new shirt on. My BVDs are clean. So back to what you were saying, I look great.
Well, you're unfrozen now.
Good. See, I wasn't even looking at myself. I didn't even notice.
It's okay. For the first several minutes, my mic was right square in the middle of my face.
Hey, everybody.
That's why during your thing, when you were telling a sob story, I moved my...
He was hiding.
I tell you what, I have the absolute worst time when I watch like American Idol or any of those shows because so many people have sob stories. And I'm just like, get to the talent.
Listen.
Like, I get so many embarrassed people, I'm just for like, people too much.
I talk
much.
About my daughter every now and then. I know.
I know. But like when I'm watching a show like that.
Anytime you want. We're here for you.
When I watch a show like.
Yeah. And so you can walk around going, I don't see nothing.
Public, here for you and right now in this enclosed space of just us.
No, but what I was getting to is like when I watch a talent show, I just want to hear the talent and mm-hmm. like judge people based on the talent, not who has the saddest story.
Yeah.
So that's like when I watch any of those, I'm just like fast forward through all this crap.
I just watched the last episode.
Right.
I actually don't really watch Idol very much anymore because of that.
Yeah, it's just annoying. Yeah. It's just filler.
Mm-hmm. I like the voice better.
Yeah.
And used to it was the other way around. I like.
But the voice will get me too.
They don't tell as many as what the others do.
I agree. But they start giving you a bunch of background after those first episodes.
Here's your one chance, Fancy. Don't fail me now.
All right, Kim. What is your mystery today?
Well, remember last time I took you on a little trip? Didn't we go on a trip last time?
Blocked it out.
Yeah, I think maybe. I don't remember.
Last time you had a carriage blow up, I think.
Yeah, it was.
You had a blowout, Kim.
Today we're going to take a trip.
Where are we going?
Now close your eyes.
And imagine a room.
Imagine yourself flying over the desert in South Peru.
I'm afraid of heights.
You doing genies? I already did that.
No, we're not doing genies. Now look out your window. What do you see?
Sand.
It looks like a line that's been drawn in the sand. And you fly a little bit farther, and then you see something that looks like a cat.
The Nazca lines? Is that what we're
talking about? Nazca lines is what we're going to talk about. Yeah. Do you know about them, Josh?
Yes, I do.
Man, why am I even doing this? Why don't you guys tell? I'm going to do what Shane does. You guys tell me. What's my mystery today?
Well, there's these big lines, and they're in the sand, and people thought that they might have once, like, been, like, how ancient people
communicated
with the gods, or that there could have been water underneath, and that's how they like were able to communicate on how there was, you know, water underneath all the sand.
They've remained preserved because of the dry, arid conditions of their location.
But they're
real
cool.
That's not the only reason.
They're real cool when you look at them because, like, I don't know how they drew them. Because,
I like the hummingbird.
Yeah, I like the big man looking one because I'm just like, how in the world are they drawing these lines?
Yeah, there are. They did find like over 70 of them. So definitely what we're talking about is the Nazca lines. They were made between 500 BC and 500 AD by the Nazca people. Yeah, that's been a little bit ago.
When you go view them today, you're like in a helicopter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It's just crazy. Like, how are they making these lines?
I want to know how they knew that they looked like that if they were doing it on the ground because they had no way to fly to
They're
see.
They're just like,
hope it looks good.
Right.
The way that they done this, they dug trenches in the desert floor and they would remove the pebbles and the rocks in it. The light colored clay earth exposed the bottom of the trenches, which contrasted to the color of the tone of the land surface. So that's why they look different, is because the underneath it is a different
color.
How
deep are the lines?
So they are between 4 and 6 feet deep.
Oh my gosh, can you imagine? I thought they were just like little skits.
They look like. Yeah, that's what it looks like from
the
air.
Can you imagine walking through the desert and all of a sudden you fall into a 6 foot hole?
Yeah. They're typically
like in a 6 foot trench.
Well, gotta
get out of this somehow.
They're typically between 4 and 6 feet deep, and the width of the lines vary from 13 inches to 6 feet wide.
Heavens.
They can be a simple line or an extensive pattern. There has been more than 70 different designs found, including a hummingbird, a fish, a condor, a heron, monkey, lizard, dog, cat, and a human.
Alien.
Mm-hmm. Plus, there are trees and flowers also that they have found. The shapes are normally made of one continuous line. Now, if you would take all of those things and stretch their lines out straight and put them end to end, it would be over 800 miles of line.
Wow. Had some free time. Ancient astronaut theorists say yes. That's where I first heard of them.
The biggest one they said is over 400 yards long.
Thick. That's a thick boy.
That was a thick boy. All of the pictures together, they spanned an area of 170 miles.
Wow.
So there is a smaller concentration of, more, but overall, they spanned 170 miles.
for some reason, I thought there were just like five of them.
No, there's a lot of them. And they keep finding more. Actually, I'll tell you exactly how many they found so far here in a minute. The first publication was done by a man named Pedro C.Z. Delon. He wrote a book in 1553 and described them as trail markers. And then in 1569, Louis Mazon reported seeing them, the ruins in Peru. And he also said that he had seen remains of what roads were from them building these. Although the lines are partially visible by the hills, the first to report them in the 20th century were Peruvian military and civilian pilots in 1927. So that was the first time that anybody really seen them from the air.
When planes probably first went over the area. Hey, y'all see that?
Right. And then American historian from Long Island University was the first person known to go over and study them. And that was back in 1940. He actually studied ancient irrigation. So that's what he went over there for, to see if these lines were maybe had anything to do with the irrigation. He flew over lines, and that's when he realized that it looked like a bird. So they noticed that there was lines back in the 20s, but they didn't put it together that they formed any pictures until he done it in 1940. So in 2011, there was a Japanese team. They announced that they had found a couple new ones at that point. One of them was resembled a head, and the same team had worked on the site from 2006 to 2011, and by that time, they had found over 100 new pictures. They call them geographs. And then in March of 2012, they announced a new research center that they were going to build to study the to do a study project for the next 15 years. Now, that it's known that by 2022, 358 of these geographs were discovered. Drones now are being used to assist the archaeologists, their research in the area, and to make it to where they're not disturbing them. They don't want anything to happen to them.
Do you know the amount of time it took them to make those? Did the civilization live there for hundreds or thousands of years?
So at one point, there was an archaeologist that recreated them. And he said that it could have taken just a small team to do one in a day.
Okay.
And so it didn't take them very long to actually do them, but there were so many of them, it took a lot. You know, it took a long time to do all of the ones that they said that they are. And they're still finding them today. They'll still find new ones.
Uh-huh. Were they hidden? Like, can they get hidden by sand?
Yeah, they're just underneath the sand, and they get them.
They just have to dig them up.
Dig them up, yeah.
I got it.
Have you ever seen the ancient city that's built into the side of a cliff in a desert?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's down in New Mexico. I would love to go see that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't
think of it. I'm having a brain fart. I can't remember.
The Cliff Dwellers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They had one. Actually, they have another one sort of like that in Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but I believe it's a recreation. I don't believe they actually lived there, if I remember right.
I don't know. I'll have to do some research on it because I thought they did.
And I thought that I read that it was a recreation, but we'll have to look into it.
Yeah, we'll look at it into it again. Because yeah. I mean, I remember us looking into it, but I don't remember.
Yeah, we'll check.
Remember that.
Yeah, but it's not far out of Denver, if I remember right. So if you guys wanted to go, we
could. It's in Colorado Springs.
If I remember right, also, you have to like climb up a little ladder.
And it's very short. The reason we didn't, I know the one reason that we didn't go is because number one, it was through COVID. Yeah. So they had really restricted,
that's true,
you know, visitation for it. And everything was really, those people weren't very tall, was really short. So it would have been really uncomfortable for you to go.
Yeah, for me.
Yeah.
I'll do crane.
So that was another reason. All right. So, of course, they do have had several different theories on what it was. You had pretty much mentioned those theories. They thought maybe it might have been an irrigation thing. They thought it might have been certain points where the sun would go down during the winter equinox and the summer equinox and all those types of things. And during Unmasked, there's another one that I'm going to tell you about.
Oh boy.
Yes, I'm so excited.
I'm excited.
No.
You look at it from far enough of a distance, it's a giant circle jerk.
What's that, guys? I've never heard of that.
That sounds real interesting. All right. So now is my this is my favorite part. I really like these.
I can't wait.
All right. So this is in Colorado Springs. We could actually, that's where that place was at, we were just talking about.
Yeah.
A young man who tried to rob a small corner store ran out of luck when, along with the cash, he wanted a bottle of scotch. The clerk refused to give it to him, saying that he was underage and he needed to see his identification. Once he had left the store, the cashier promptly called the police and told him the name and address of the robber.
Oh, my God.
Ruh-roh, Raggy.
Ruh-roh,
oh, my God.
Bless his heart.
I know.
People just bless him.
I know.
Oh, my God.
They're so funny. So funny.
They're so dumb. You can't even make fun of them. It's like, oh.
Yep. Now, this one is in Australia. One theft got more than they bargained for when they reached into a window of a parked car to snatch a tote. The bag belonged to professional snake catcher Brad McDonald.
Oh, God.
Inside was a highly venomous snake McDonald had captured from an underground car park in Sydney.
See? Do the crime. I mean,
And I did this one because I mowed my yard last weekend and killed two snakes.
Yeah, and if you send me another picture of a dead snake, I'm going to block you.
Yes,
Now listen, PETA, if you're listening, eat our butts because we don't like snakes.
We don't like snakes. I also do have a new review. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah.
Do they mention you, Cam?
No, actually they don't.
Oh, okay.
No.
Me.
So this is from this is from Kat. And the title of it is Thank You, Jesus. She gives us 5 stars and says, I look forward to hanging out with my best friends that I've never met each week. Everyone has the best sense of humor and the best laughs. Love all of your banter and obviously stories, but mostly the banter. Bless your hearts.
Oh, thank you, Kat. Oh,
that's so sweet. Yeah,
thank you, Kat.
I believe she follows us on the Instagram.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
She might.
On the Graham.
I remember her name because I always think, oh, I want a Kit Kat.
So it's got a K.
Yep. So if you enjoy the show, leave us a nice review. It might get read.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to start doing
those
every now
and then. If you're an attractive daddy, leave me a personal review.
You're ridiculous. All right. Are we all ready? I made a little spiel like Josh's.
Oh, good.
All right.
About time.
Okay.
All right.
Spiel it.
Don't forget to follow us on all the social media and then come visit our website at itsmysteryinc.com. You'll find our episodes and photos of us. You could go to our merch store and buy Josh's little dicks and Amazonite necklaces. And my BVDs are on there. I really wish somebody bought my BVDs because I would laugh so hard.
I would probably fart spray.
I would send a personalized message with those BVDs.
I would.
And then also, of course, our t-shirts are on there also.
And the t-shirts you can get personalized.
So anything you want on the back.
Yeah. If you have a favorite phrase that we say, we'll put that.
Your name.
Yeah.
Anything. Also, don't forget to join our Patreon, and now is the perfect time to do it, because we're trying to get 15 new ones, and we'll schedule that game night to win my blanket that I've worked so hard for.
We'll be live.
We're up 6 out of 15.
Yeah.
We're getting
there quick.
We are.
Don't forget, CrimeCon and
CrimeCon
end of May, beginning of June, and Paranormal True Crime Festival in Colorado in July.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That's it.
Are we ready for our unmasked?
Yeah, I think so.
Lunch. I got a ciabatta. I'm just thinking of.
It is almost noon.
All right. Well, we'll catch you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.